Introduction. The benefits of yoga are well known to everyone who has ever tried the discipline, but if you are new to yoga, let me recap. Yoga is a fantastically popular and effective way of strengthening you physically as well as mentally and spiritually. This last spiritual aspect may turn some people off, but it's not something that needs to be associated with religion. Really, the best alternate word for the spiritual strength of yoga is contentment or happiness. It allows you to be a calmer person and more happy with yourself. Put like that, it sounds pretty great, doesn't it? So you've probably heard a little about yoga and wondered what it's all about. You probably have a few preconceptions and maybe an image of an old man with a long beard sitting in the lotus position springs into your head in automatic association with the word. Let's go through step by step what you can expect in a typical yoga session. Step 1, the introduction and preparation. Most yoga classes begin in a standing position. There are both mental and physical reasons for this, and they are closely connected. The standing position is the most natural human position there is. Leonardo da Vinci produced a famous scientific picture of the symmetry of the human body when it is in its natural standing position. The outstretched arms and legs can have a perfect circle drawn around them, and this is true of everyone regardless of their height or weight. What this means is that a standing pose comes naturally to us, we are not worried about getting it wrong, and we can concentrate on the state of the body. Breathing exercises will be a key part of the warm-up stage for your routine. This is the only time in your life you will be taught to breathe, and it's a skill which allows people to restore calm to their bodies and thoughts. Step 2, the main routine. This is the art of your yoga session, which will vary the greatest depending on what forms of yoga you are learning. While the individual exercises you will be doing are going to be quite different, the nature of them will be very similar. This will mean moving into certain poses and positions and holding those poses to allow the body to stretch out muscles and muscle groups that in many cases haven't been given much attention during the week. Some yoga teachers will talk to you about energy points of chakras. These are important junctions in your body where congestion occurs, and stretching them out allows energy to flow freely around your body. Step 3, ending the session. While the main session is about releasing pent-up energies, this stage of your yoga workout is all about allowing that energy to flow around your body. Many people have trouble with thinking about some strange mystic force that is flowing through you and driving it to certain parts of your body. If you are one of them, just mentally substitute the word energy with the word blood. We know that the job of blood is to carry nutrients and oxygen around our body. And we know that if any part of our body is lacking in this supply, that we will become ill, so it's not a huge stretch to think of blood as the mystic energy force that brings health around our body, and exercises such as yoga as being the method of ensuring the smooth and successful flow of that blood. Chapter 1, Questions Commonly Asked About Yoga. Yoga has been around for an incredibly long time, and over that period different practitioners have added their own refinements and styles into the basic yoga discipline. There are so many different styles, now it is nearly impossible to count, but they all stem from the same core philosophy and methodology. Unfortunately, the multiple different styles often lead newcomers to the exercise discipline to become very confused as to what they are doing and what they can hope to achieve with yoga. In this article, we answer some of the common questions. What is yoga? This question is the most common from newcomers. Most people have a general idea, but they are not sure where yoga fits into the world. Is it an exercise? Is it a philosophy? Is it a form of physical therapy? Is it a spiritual process? The answer is that to different people, yoga is all of these things. At its core, it is a group of exercises and poses which are very low impact and work by strengthening the body and increasing its flexibility through static exercise. This means that each pose will stretch a certain area and the body benefits from this stretch by increased blood flow and energy release. Many of the exercises release tension from areas of the body that regular activities do not cater to. Because yoga is performed slowly and with a strong emphasis on correct breathing patterns, there is also a strong mental and spiritual element to the exercise. It is seen as a way of cleansing mind, body, and spirit. Do I need to be religious to get the most out of yoga? As mentioned above, yoga is different things to different people. There are many people in the world who perform yoga purely for its spiritual benefits. There are many others who perform yoga purely for the physical benefits associated with it. What you get out of yoga will depend largely on your mindset, your openness to new ideas, and your ability to let yourself fall fully into a meditative state. For some people, this is very difficult at first, but that is still not going to prevent them from getting the physical benefits associated with yoga classes. You will find that even if you do not have any strong spiritual base, you will still benefit from an increase in your self-confidence and personal contentment. Where can I do yoga? Practically anywhere. Many people practice yoga in their homes every day. Others will go to the local park and practice yoga with a group of friends. To begin with, it's a good idea to inquire at your local gym about yoga classes. Many of them will be holding yoga every day. Even if they aren't, they will be able to tell you where the best place to learn yoga is. Some local councils sponsor yoga classes in their area in recognition of the benefits to people who exercise regularly. One of the big advantages of a yoga-based exercise regime is that there is no expensive equipment to buy and then store around your house. Some poses are assisted by cushions to support the body, but in general, the only thing you need is your body. I'm not very fit, is yoga for me? Yes. Very much so. One of the fantastic things about yoga is that the exercises and poses you will learn can be adjusted to your level. Fitness isn't usually a problem because the exercises are slow and often static, but your body will become better at performing them over time as your strength and flexibility improves. Knowing your limit and ensuring that you don't ease up out of habit gain the best benefit. Hopefully, you will now have a good understanding of what yoga is and why you should be doing it. Remember that yoga is something that once learned can be practiced anywhere you like and as often as you like. Indeed, this is one of the key components of yoga's popularity. Misunderstandings about yoga. Yoga is a very popular form of exercising and spiritual balancing, but it is also very often understood by a lot of people. This is almost inevitable when you consider the incredible popularity of yoga as a discipline and the many different strands that yoga has. Quite often, people have experience with one type of yoga but not another, and as such they will base their overall impression of yoga on what they have seen. It is like people basing their impression on Germans on the most famous German they know, Adolf Hitler, or more recently the portrayal of George Bush internationally as the only example of an American anyone knows. The truth is that yoga can be very different depending on who you learn it from and how they perceive yoga. This article looks at some of the common misconceptions. Misconception number 1, yoga is a form of exercise. Well, yes it is, but so is walking. I can walk from my couch to my table and I can hardly claim to have done my exercise for the day. The truth is that exercise is just the beginning of what yoga is. It's closer to a combination of exercise, physiotherapy, psychology and spirituality all rolled into one. As you come to master yoga, you will need to become more and more mentally strong and most importantly disciplined. If you can discipline yourself to do regular yoga sessions and maintain your discipline to do each pose for the prescribed time and do it properly, then you will naturally become a very disciplined and organized person. For some people, this transcends to a spiritual level because they are so efficient in clearing their thoughts while meditating. Misconception number 2, yoga is for hippies. As previously mentioned, yoga can be a very spiritual experience if you become good enough at clearing your thoughts and concentrating whilst performing the exercises. But you certainly do not have to begin with any spiritual belief. Yoga believes in aligning the body and the mind and the spirit through achieving inner balance. What that means to you is probably going to depend entirely on what your beliefs already are. For some people, it will be a spiritually freeing experience. For others, it will be an effective way of de-stressing and achieving a level of calmness of thought. Still others will claim that these things are one and the same. Misconception number 3, yoga is a fad. Recently, there have been some much hyped up yoga courses making big claims about what yoga can achieve. These are easy to associate with other fad exercise crazes. However, yoga is not something new and is based in documents that are hundreds of years old, which describe exercises and poses that were probably being performed for generations before that. An individual style of yoga may come and go, but as long as people are still stretching before a game of football, then yoga will still be being used. Misconception number 4, yoga is too slow to help me lose weight/gain tone, etc. This one is way off the mark, but we have been somewhat trained by the weight loss industry that weight loss and toning our body is all about hours in the gym and fast high-impact exercise. That's simply not true. Yoga can help with weight loss and in particularly toning for a number of reasons. Firstly, the exercises, while low impact and performed either statically or slowly, are still exercises. While you use them, you are using your muscles, and in many cases you are using muscles and muscle groups that regular exercise programs ignore. The second way that yoga can be of benefit in a weight loss program is that it will increase your mental strength and allow you to be more disciplined with your food consumption. When it comes down to it, excess weight is a result of excess eating and not enough physical exercise to burn off those calories. Have you ever noticed how some people can eat donut after donut and not put on any weight at all? It seems unfair, but it's a natural result of the state of their body. Usually these people will be quite sinewy, and this muscle allows them to metabolize food faster. That's the third benefit of yoga in weight loss. As your muscles develop, your body will actually become more efficient at consuming foods and processing them into nutrients and waste. Hopefully we have now gone some way to explaining away the various myths associated with yoga. It is such a broad topic that it is very much a case of yoga being what you make of it. Chapter 2, Yoga and Exercise. Is yoga the perfect form of exercise and relaxation? Let's make a list of what our ideal type of exercise would do. Firstly, it would be simple enough that anyone could do it, but have enough variations and different methods that it would maintain the interest of someone who had been practicing it for years. It would need to be easy to learn so that people could pick up the basics quickly and start seeing the benefits as soon as possible. To be a perfect form of exercise, it would need to be capable of keep our body in good shape all by itself. It would help with weight loss, circulation, and increasing the strength of the muscles. It would stimulate the lymphatic system as well as the blood flow and help the body dispose of waste products, improving the overall immune response system. It would also have benefits that went beyond health, the sharpening of the mind, and an increased sense of well-being and contentment. Ideally, it would be an exercise form that required no expensive equipment and that could be practiced practically anywhere, alone or in a group. This is quite a demanding set of prerequisites for a perfect form of exercise. Let's see if yoga measures up to these standards. Yoga is a discipline that has its roots in India. The documents that modern yoga is based on are hundreds of years old, and the principles behind these documents were practiced long before that. It is a low-impact form of exercise that has been tweaked and customized by literally thousands of different teachers and enthusiasts. There are numerous resulting styles of yoga, but they all have the same core background and beliefs. What we refer to as yoga in the West is usually the physical component of an entire life philosophy that has its own beliefs and code of ethics built in. The physical focus of yoga is on poses and slow movements that are low impact and usually use nothing more than our own body. Sometimes props and supports are used to assist the body in achieving and holding a particular pose. The poses can vary greatly in their degree of difficulty, and even the same pose can have many different stages or levels. The perfect example is a simple forward stretch. One person may be able to stretch out past their knees, another may be able to reach their ankles, and somebody else may be able to touch the floor. This level of progression allows us to see a physical difference in our flexibility level as we practice yoga more regularly. And because yoga does not require any special equipment, we are not confined to set class times and can practice yoga anywhere and anytime the fancy takes us. We can even do breathing exercises to clear the mind while sitting at a work desk. Yoga has some incredible health benefits which stem from controlled breathing and increased blood flow. Our body's organs simply do not operate at peak efficiency unless they are receiving the oxygen and nutrients that they need. The waste products from our muscles and organs are carried away by the lymphatic system. Both systems can develop choke points and blockages that different yoga poses will address and correct. The result is a better, more regular blood pressure, a more efficient immunity system, and an optimal digestive process. Because yoga movements are slow and simple, the focus on correct breathing has a pronounced mental effect on the body. It provides us with an enhanced ability to focus and to unclutter our thoughts. This is a valuable edge in modern life, and its importance should not be underestimated. Finally, many regular yoga enthusiasts will tell you that there is a spiritual side to yoga. How far this affects an individual will probably depend on their beliefs before they begin practicing yoga, but it can perhaps be thought of most accurately with a greater comfort and connection with your own body. The increased acceptance of yourself and comfort with your own being results directly in more happy people. So, it looks like yoga does indeed check all the boxes and can be thought of as a perfect exercise form. Achieving the correct yoga poses. Yoga has been described as a science which seeks to achieve the harmonious and balanced development of the body, mind, and soul. It is a system which allows us to bring culture, balance, and happiness to ourselves. It works via a need for strong mental discipline and the ancient theories, which it is based on regarding the interconnection between the mind and body, are now being regularly supported by modern scientific theory. Yoga consists of a number of different exercises or poses. Examples of these poses are the cat and cow poses. Both are connected and begin with you on all fours on the floor. Arching the back upwards like a cornered cat places you in the cat pose, and the reverse, lowering the back, puts you into the cow pose. Another common form of exercise is a forward bend that will help in the stretching of the lower back and hamstring muscles. There are a number of other advantages to forward bends. They release tension in the back, neck, and shoulder, as well as increasing the flexibility of the spine. Forward bends can be uncomfortable if you have any injuries in the neck or back area, but regularly performing will help assist in the recovery of these injuries and even strengthen the area for the future. The counterpart of a forward bend is a back bend. These open up the chest, hips, and rib cage area. As well as strengthening the arms, they also provide increased strength and flexibility to the shoulders. This type of exercise is fantastic at increasing the stability of the spine, but is also useful for relieving built-up tension along the front of the body and the hips. The relationship between back and forward bends is a perfect example of the importance of the body's balance in yoga. Hatha yoga poses were developed in India during the 15th century. They are designed as an aid to relaxation and healing, and usually introduced with a concept of the contemplation of one reality. The result of using these exercises properly and in conjunction with suitable breathing exercises and meditation is an increase in vitality, physical health, and a stronger mental health. Hatha yoga exercises have become a part of numerous different yoga disciplines over the years, and it's quite common to see exercises such as the half moon posture, the bow posture, or the salutation posture, even if it is not hatha yoga you are practicing. This is because the principles of yoga and the movements and balances required are fairly consistent from one discipline to another. Another simple yoga exercise is doing the twist. Twists will strengthen and stretch your back or abdominal muscles and help to increase the flexibility of your spine. They also aid in increasing your body's circulation that brings oxygen supplies to your cells. This fresh blood and oxygen supply that is released as you twist will improve the functioning of your body's internal organs. A yoga session will often begin with a standing pose. These are a very good low-impact, low-stress starting point for a yoga session. Standing poses benefit the legs and hips and help provide a sense of centering, balance, and of course strength to the legs themselves. The end of a yoga session is usually marked by a group of poses known as relaxation and restorative poses. This group of exercises is designed to give the positive energies and forces released by the yoga session to move throughout your body and benefit you completely. Chapter 3, The Philosophy of Yoga. Yoga is different things to different people, so what it means to you will depend greatly on how you were introduced to it and how you enjoyed your initial experiences with it. For some people, yoga is simply a method of exercising that ensures they have a healthy, supple body. For other people, yoga transcends a method of exercise and is a spiritual experience that allows them to find the balance and centering their lives need. This type of yoga comes closer to a life philosophy than any other. Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga is often placed in this final type when assessing its place as a yoga discipline. It descends from a document known as Karanta Yoga, which deals with the 8 spiritual movements which are described by Patanjali in Sutra Yoga. Today, most yoga disciplines are directly descended from the descriptions of yoga exercises in these documents, and so most forms of yoga are variations of Ashtanga Vinyasa. Getting a complete understanding of Ashtanga yoga is important, as its proponents treat it as more than a form of exercise. While its base is in physical movement, it is suggested that its power in fact comes from the strength of spirit that is developed from regular and disciplined practice of the 8 stages of yoga. Through the 8 stages of yoga, the body and mind become pure, and so they are seen as a purifying discipline. Furthermore, the discipline of Ashtanga Vinyasa deals with a profound and deep way of relating to others. The closest word to describe this aspect of the yoga discipline is manners, but it really does go beyond that. Yoga is a discipline of balance, and the physical balance required to complete many of the exercises should be mirrored by an internal balance or harmony of the soul. It is said that a hyperactive person cannot be successful with yoga, and this is true on several levels. Firstly, they lack the discipline to sit calmly through the exercises, but they also lack the mental calm to focus wholly and completely on a single task. Yoga requires deep concentrating on the simple act of breathing and feeling the breath bring life to different areas of your body. The power of yoga is found in its combination of the physical strength and flexibility needed to complete movements and the mental discipline that is required to maintain them. Yoga is not just a form of exercise, but most often it is thought of as a form of meditation. Meditating successfully with yoga requires a pureness of thought and singularity of focus that is not found in most modern exercise programs. It seeks to bring the body back into balance and focus on maintaining that balance. This aspect of yoga is often misunderstood, but balance plays a huge role in Eastern medicine, and the purpose of yoga and similar meditative techniques is often no more than to achieve and maintain the level of balance that keeps our bodies healthy. Yoga teachers will often talk about oneness and inner harmony, and this can be misinterpreted by people who lack a holistic understanding of what yoga seeks to achieve. Simple, the harmony that is achieved through meditation and yoga is a self-contentment or acceptance of oneself. This shows that the first step to becoming completely happy and healthy is to be content with yourself and your life. Non-spiritual yoga. For a lot of people, the first image that will pop into their head when they think of yoga is a little old man in a loincloth sitting on top of a stone pillar with his legs crossed and his arms on his knees. He's probably chanting, humming, or got a look of relaxation and serenity on his face. I'm not a person who likes to sit still, and I hate any minute that I feel is wasted, so this idea of sitting around doing nothing all day was not something that appealed to me. I've changed that initial perception quite a lot, and in this article I want to tell you about the personal journey that taught me about the benefits of yoga for a very non-spiritual person. The first yoga class I ever went to, I spent a lot of time sitting in silence with a bored expression on my face and thinking, "This is so dumb." I listened to the instructor drone on about inner peace and harmony and balance and energy flowing through my body, and I was pretty close to never going back again. Then I got lucky. One of the guys in the class was a professor at the local university, and it struck me as a little strange that a professor of biology would be doing this spiritual yoga thing. I got an opportunity and speak to him briefly. Actually, he singled me out and observed I looked bored. He explained he had felt the same way when he began, and then he translated the instructor's talk into biology terms, and it was all very sound. That hit me like a ton of bricks. As I thought on it more and more, I could see this from a purely scientific point of view. For instance, take the energy that flows through our body. A lot of people are turned off when they start to hear talk like that, but it's a very core component of yoga. I substituted blood for energy and looked at this thought process again. I know that blood carries nutrients and oxygen around our body. I know that if our cells don't receive these nutrients and supplements, they become weak and we can become ill. I know that people can become sick if they have high or low blood pressure. The regular healthy flow of blood is clearly a very important factor in us staying healthy. Of course, yoga was first used many hundreds of years ago, and while it would be arrogant to assume that we know everything about circulation and blood flow, we certainly know more than the average Chinese peasant from that time. Energy is just a nice word that anyone can understand for blood flow. Yoga stretches out certain muscle areas and allows our blood to flow more freely and bring the nutrients to all parts of the body which need them. That is a nice scientific explanation I am quite happy to accept. You can do the same with the other alternative terminology you don't relate to when you hear the instructor talking about it. Inner peace, oneness, emotional calm, it's all just a very dressed up way of saying concentrate on one thing, your blood flow and the health it is bringing you, or your breathing and the supply of life giving oxygen it brings you. Concentrate on that just for this one small part of the day and make being alive and healthy your only goal. Forget about what's happening at the office, because you cannot do it from here. Forget about what your husband or wife is doing or whether the kids are being bullied at school, and just concentrate on being you, being alive, and being healthy. Now, stress has been attributed as a major factor in over 40% of all medical issues. Stress, in a nutshell, is caused by thinking too much. This practice shows us how to let all those worries be something we can think about later and leaves the brain free to concentrate on doing all its vital health-giving functions. It's strange that as I've done more and more yoga, I have developed a spiritual side that I never had before. It's not a religious thing, but more a case of recognizing that my own health and well-being are important and worthy of being made a priority. Whether the same happens for you is yet to be seen, but if you've been putting off learning yoga or giving it a try because of all the spiritual talk, I can assure you there are scientific reasons behind it, and that if you give it a chance, you may just be surprised. Chapter 4: Getting the Most Out of Yoga for Your Health. Yoga is an ancient art that has been refined and modified by many great teachers across the ages. It now comes in so many different styles and techniques, and different people may find different versions of yoga more suitable for them. This is because yoga is a very personal exercise routine with strong emphasis on looking within oneself in order to achieve personal balance and well-being. Regardless of which individual version of yoga you practice, there are a number of things that apply to yoga universally rather than to individual branches of the discipline. If you want to get the most from your yoga session, you will learn to understand these things and develop them into your yoga routine. You will find that much of your time performing yoga is spent in a sitting or lying position. However, the beginning of a yoga session is usually a standard standing pose. The standing pose is the most natural position for a human to find themselves in, yet we spend remarkably little time practicing standing correctly. If you begin your yoga session with a standing pose, you are free from the stress of having to take on an unaccustomed position, and this allows you to focus on other fundamentals of the yoga discipline. For instance, you can concentrate on regulating your breathing and feeling the full healing benefits of each breath. The standing pose is so natural to us that we don't need to pay it any conscious thought and can focus on our breath entering the body and flowing through us. The standing pose is also beneficial to bringing the body into alignment and centering ourselves both physically and spiritually. Leonardo da Vinci produced a famous diagram showing the perfect symmetry of the human body when it is in its natural standing pose, and this position has always been the most natural for us to find our center and balance. The bulk of a yoga session is spent in placing our body in positions or poses that stretch and activate the body. These poses are entered into gently and gradually, so there is no risk of injury. Many poses have a number of different levels, so we can get more and more benefits from them as our body becomes more used to them. This is perhaps best demonstrated by a simple forward stretch. When a gym teacher tells a pupil to touch their toes, the pupil is performing the same exercise whether they can reach forward and touch the floor or whether the stretch only goes as far as their knees. The only difference is the level of incline. The forward stretch is also a perfect example of how the natural movements of yoga are used outside of a yoga class or session, in this case, in stretching and warming up before sports or other physical activities. Most children whose coaches take them through a stretching routine before a game of football have no idea that many of the poses are borrowed directly from a yoga session. The key to enjoying and benefiting from this main phase of the yoga session is to pace it to your level. As with the child who can only forward stretch to knee level, you do not need to perform the exercise at the highest level from the first time you experience it. Find your comfort zone and then move a fraction beyond it. Then each new session, try and maintain that level and push a little further if possible. The end of a yoga session is also an important stage. This stage usually consists of a group of restoration and restorative poses and positions that are designed to allow the energy to flow back through your body. A good yoga session releases pent-up energy in your body, and allowing this energy to flow freely to all parts of the body is a critical part of gaining the maximum benefits from yoga. Yoga can help you lose weight. In today's society, carrying excess weight is becoming the norm rather than the exception. Lifestyles are increasingly sedentary, people's diet is becoming increasingly processed and fatty, and food contains more and more calories, additives, and preservatives. Children prefer television over playing with their friends, which is perhaps a direct reflection on parents who prefer television over socializing or even making time for their children. This only scratches the surface of the social move towards a sedentary and unhealthy society, which is making more and more people fat. Yoga is a discipline designed to make the body strong and flexible and enhance the overall health of the digestive system as well as the hormonal and circulatory systems. It also assists us in controlling mental stress and achieving peace and clarity of mind. Yoga also has strong spiritual benefits, which will see you becoming more content with yourself and more comfortable with who you are, all aspects which will lead to emotional stability. This mental component is often neglected in a physical approach to weight loss, but it is critical and should not be overlooked. So-called comfort food is a frequent problem for people who yo-yo diet, rapidly lose and gain weight, and the ability to be happy with your health and who you are reduces the need for this. Yoga is based on deep and controlled breathing, which is a method for enhancing our oxygen intake. This allows oxygen to travel to the fat cells in our body and assist in their processing. One has to ask, given the benefits, why more people don't practice yoga. Many people think of yoga as a passive or mystical discipline, something for hippies, not them. This is a shame, as yoga improves the physical body as well as our mental health. While it is practiced by a great many people in Eastern populations, only about 2% of the population in the United States has clicked on to the many benefits. Yoga considers all the aspects that contribute to obesity, not just the physical, but also the mental and spiritual reasons behind them. Regular yoga is not only relaxing, but it does bring the body back towards its ideal weight and at the same time enhance strength, flexibility, and stamina. Yoga nuts tend to end up slim, agile, and efficient in everything they do, and what's more, it is suitable for people of all ages. A more active form of yoga, Kundalini, was introduced to America in 1969 by Yogi Bhajan. It is a more active form of yoga, combining different methods of breathing, meditation, and movement to compensate for the fact the American population has been conditioned to see exercise as requiring sweating. Yoga can also be used to resist the temptation of snacking between meals. Techniques learned from yoga can be used to suppress impulses such as that we think of as hunger between meals. If you eat proper meals, you cannot be hungry between them, merely bored or restless. Yoga is not just a method of losing weight, it is actually a method which restores a natural balance to our body and moves us towards our natural state. This has an interesting consequence with weight. If we are overweight, then yes, regular yoga will cause us to lose weight. However, if we are at our ideal weight, we will not drop weight. And if we weigh too little, we will gain weight until we are at our biologically natural size. Chapter 5: The Motivations of Yoga Practices. There are many different reasons for taking up and practicing yoga. For one person, they may be ill and looking to rejuvenate themselves. Another will want to maintain and improve their current level of health. Some people like the mental challenge, and for some it is a physical challenge that can be overcome. Some people may use yoga as a relaxing form of stress relief. The great thing about yoga is that all these people are going to find what they are looking for and so much more. Yoga has a long list of benefits, both physical and mental, associated with it. Yoga can assist in recovery from a heart attack through its blood-lowering and distressing effects. There has been a considerable amount of research done into heart patients and yoga, most notably by Dr. Ornish, who is now also a best-selling author. Dean Ornish has no reservations in recommending yoga both as a way of recovering from heart attacks and also avoiding future heart problems. Yoga has also been reported to be very beneficial to people with diseases such as multiple sclerosis due to its ability to assist with balance and muscle tone. Yoga gently works muscle groups around the back and spine of spinal injury sufferers, and because it puts very little stress on the muscles while still working them thoroughly, it is a fantastic way of strengthening this part of the body. Regular yoga for back pain sufferers can result in complete restoration of their range of movement. As we age, most of us become frailer and less coordinated in our movements, but yoga can help we are more gracefully by ensuring we are always in control of our body and mind. In fact, most yoga sessions are filled with a slightly older crowd who recognize the ongoing benefits it gives them. Yoga is also a strength-building discipline that allows even progression in the arms, the legs, and the trunk or core of the body. Many of us take strength for granted until it fails us, but increasing your physical strength will benefit you not just with lifting heavy objects, but also in everyday tasks like getting groceries or mowing the lawn. It even makes it easier for us to move ourselves. As well as strength, yoga will greatly increase the range of motion we are able to achieve, particularly in the spine and joint areas. Once again, this is often something we take for granted unless it is missing. The act of reaching up to put something in a cupboard is natural to many of us, but for others, it can cause a jolt of pain down their back. They simply cannot move their arm through the range of motion needed to reach up, or when they do, their grasp is not strong enough to grab anything from the cupboard. It's important not to just focus on the physical benefits of yoga, because the mental benefits are at least as impressive. Simply put, yoga will focus and sharpen your mind. Each posture is performed with a focus and an awareness of your body and your breathing. This is not a gym session with mind-numbing reps or chatter between exercises. Whatever you are doing during a yoga session is done with absolute focus on the movement, the body, the breathing, and the moment. Breathing is something that most of us do wrong most of the time. We are accustomed to taking shorter, quicker breaths, but with yoga the breathing is deeper and fuller. These deeper breaths will make the mind calmer and more focused. Yoga enthusiasts often describe this calmness as a sense of well-being. The deep breathing also makes it easier to release the stress and negative thinking that accumulates in us. Just as the physical blocks are removed through increased blood circulation during the exercises, so the mental blockages are removed by clarity of thought. Yoga is not a discipline you simply know or do not know, it is an ongoing learning process. There are a huge number of different postures, and each posture has a number of different variations on how it can be performed. This never-ending sea of options keeps the body stimulated and engages the mind constantly. Behind the postures and exercises themselves, there is a complex philosophical system based in the writings that yoga derives from. Not many people think of a complete code of ethics, including steadfastness, truth, self-inquiry, and an opposition to stealing, harming others, and hoarding when they think of yoga, but these ethical issues are a central part of the system on which yoga was founded. The different postures, breathing exercises, and the deep philosophy of yoga all lead to the same end, a deep contemplation. Because yoga relaxes both the body and the mind, tension and stress are greatly reduced. This is highlighted during a yoga class by pauses for us to get in touch with how we are feeling and reacting. Ending the class in a point-by-point contemplative meditation performed on the back is common. Yoga is an exercise, but it is also a meditative process, a code of ethics, and a confidence and character-building course all rolled into one. It's no wonder the group of people who attend the classes are so diverse. Chapter 6: Finding the Right Yoga Class. When you are new to yoga, you are probably going to be uncertain as to what to expect when you first enter a beginner yoga class on your first day. Most people are uncertain about what they should even be looking for in a beginner yoga class, so this article will let you in on the 4 secrets to finding the right class for you. Decide on what you want to achieve before choosing a style. The number of different reasons for taking up yoga is usually at least as high as the number of new people in a yoga class. Broadly, people will be looking for one of 3 things: physical health, mental health, or spiritual health. All 3 are important, and all 3 are realistic goals in a yoga class. Whatever it is you are trying to achieve through yoga, there will be a class and style that is suitable for you. You can research in a library, online, or even by asking various yogi, and this will help you find the yoga that will get the best result for you. It's worth actually setting some solid goals, and many newcomers are surprised at how willing a yoga instructor is to talk over these goals with them and discuss whether they are realistic or an alternative may be better suited. Join a class-by-class program. These are sometimes referred to as drop-in classes, or pay-as-you-go. These are a good way of getting a feel for yoga. There will be a regular turnover of other students in the classes, and the contrasting level will mean the instructor will keep the classes at a relatively mild level and give everyone a taste of many different aspects of yoga. The advantage of this method is, of course, that you are not committed to an expensive series of classes, and you can get a taster for yoga and see what types of yoga interest you. You will also quickly learn whether the goals you set earlier are realistic for you or even too low and need expanding upon. Your next step will be to choose a series of classes in the areas that you found most suitable from the drop-in classes. These classes will build on each other from week to week, and you may find yourself behind if you miss a week. Ensure that you are being taught by someone who knows what they are doing. Surprisingly enough, considering the relatively low intensity and the many physical benefits, yoga has begun to regularly show up on the statistics for sports injuries. 2 key causes are identified. Firstly, students pushing themselves too fast too soon, and secondly, instructors with inadequate training or appreciation of the individual level of their students. Large classes are sometimes to blame for this. When you are considering a new class, don't be embarrassed to ask your yoga instructor what their qualifications and background are. Many instructors have nothing more than a 3-day training course in gym yoga, and many people put this in the enough knowledge to be dangerous category. Traditionally, a student would train for many years under a guru before they would be considered fit to pass on even the simplest of yoga techniques to another novice. The Yoga Alliance is a United States organization that features a register of teachers who have completed appropriate training. This means having completed courses that meet a certain standard. A nice rule to work by is that less than 200 hours of instruction would mean a part-time yoga education. Be aware of hidden costs. An unpleasant surprise that can put people right off yoga is turning up to the first class and finding that there are expenses that they haven't allowed for. Some studios require each student to have their own mat, a special strap, or other props. Some classes will work through a book which you are obliged to buy, and some classes will have a dress code ranging from specific colors to specific articles of clothing. Being unaware of any of these things and being refused your first class because of them can be very off-putting. Mistakes made by yoga newbies. Whenever we start something new, we have a certain feeling of trepidation and uncertainty of the unknown, and in most cases it is completely unfounded, and we get on with things very quickly and easily. Sometimes it isn't, and a simple little thing can cause us to have an entirely negative first impression and perhaps even never want to try that activity or pastime again. Yoga has so many health benefits, on both a physical and spiritual level, that it would be a tragedy for anyone to miss out on them because they made a silly avoidable mistake on their first day. With that in mind, this article addresses the 3 most common mistakes of new yogi, and how to make sure they don't happen to you. Not knowing what you want from yoga. The reality is that there are numerous different styles and forms of yoga, and each has its different attractions. Ask yourself what it was about yoga in general that attracted you, and then you can investigate a style that caters more specifically to that. You may like to set goals, be they physical, mental, or spiritual. If you do, then it's a good idea to discuss them with the instructor of your class before you begin. Yoga instructors are usually very approachable and happy to talk about their passion. They will be able to talk to you about your goals for the class and let you know if you are being realistic, aiming too high or too low. Make sure your goal includes a time frame so it becomes something that is measurable. Jumping in feet first. Having decided that they will give this yoga thing a try, many people take a running leap and jump into a 12-month stage-by-stage class. These classes are usually an upfront payment arrangement and progress from one level to the next as the weeks progress. They are a fantastic way of learning yoga and becoming very good at it, but it's quite possibly you will choose a class that is not ideal for you. The best way around this is to join a yoga beginner class, also known as a drop-in class. If you do these classes for a few weeks, you will notice a high turnover of students as new people join and old people move on. These classes are designed to give you a very broad feel for the different types of yoga. The level of the students in the class usually varies greatly, so you can expect the instructor to keep the classes quite tame. The other key benefit of doing this is that the classes are pay-as-you-go, so there is no big financial outlay for you while you decide the type and style of yoga that best suits you. You are also not obliged to attend every class. With the longer courses, you can fall behind quickly if you miss a week or two in a row. With the pay-as-you-go classes, you will find that while each class is different, the level stays quite low to cater for the newer people joining in. Choosing the wrong teacher. Traditionally, a yogi had to be an apprentice to a skilled guru for many years before he could teach even the simplest of yoga technique. Nowadays, a 3-day course over a long weekend is considered enough by some people. There is a big difference in what you will achieve depending on the skills and abilities of the person teaching you. Yoga is starting to make a regular appearance on the sports injury list, and a large reason for this is instructors who have been taught just enough to be dangerous. A qualified teacher won't necessarily be fantastic, and an unqualified teacher won't necessarily be terrible, but the odds are certainly cast in that direction, so it's a good idea to check your instructor's background and qualifications before you begin studying with them. Chapter 7: Yoga Benefits for the Businessman. The lot of a modern businessman is a stressful one, and there is always so much to do. It would take a pretty compelling set of reasons to convince a successful businessman, or even an unsuccessful one, to add something else to an already packed schedule, so why would he even think about regular yoga classes? In this article, we examine the three main benefits of yoga and how they apply to the busy business person. Physical health. All businessmen's ultimate goal is to become wealthy, isn't it? Have you ever heard the saying that your health is your wealth? Believe me, it is true. No matter how much money you have, you cannot benefit from it if you are dead, and personal health is often neglected in today's busy corporate world. But the question is not whether one can afford the time for exercise to become healthy, it is whether they can afford not to. Health is a shifting scale, you are not either healthy or dead. It's important to think about how much your level of health affects your work. A healthy body will allow you to concentrate more, work harder, and increase the time you spend productively. Yoga is the perfect way for a businessman to look after their physical well-being. Because the exercises are so incredibly low impact, they can be performed even by the most out-of-shape person, and the more regularly they are performed, the better that person's health will become. Yoga is a very efficient method of releasing tension and stress. During a workday, certain blockages develop around the body, and many of our vital organs do not get the full amount of oxygen and nutrients that they need to function at peak efficiency. Yoga stretches different muscles groups in certain ways that will lead to these blockages being released and the blood flow bringing the body's organs all the oxygen and nutrients they need. Yoga's health benefits are both immediate and long-term. In the short term, blood flow is increased and the body functions better because it is achieving the nutrients it requires. Tension is also released from muscles, and the body's lymphatic system is able to more effectively deal with waste products. In the longer term, these will be ongoing benefits, and the digestive system will also function more efficiently, which has innumerable health benefits. The general balance, coordination, and flexibility will also be greatly enhanced. Mental health. Have you ever considered the importance of a breath? We know that when someone stops breathing, they die. And even this simplistic understanding should tell us how important it is to breath. But breathing properly is often ignored. It is vital not only for the numerous health benefits, but also for the strong mental advantages it allows us. Yoga sessions will usually begin with a standing, breathing exercise. The simple process of taking in a deep breath and releasing it slowly is incredibly calming and the basis of the breathing exercises that are a vital backbone to the yoga discipline. The key to this breathing is that it draws our attention to the one simple action of breathing. We become very aware of the life-giving benefit of a deep and controlled breathing cycle and are able to achieve a level of calmness that we often don't seek out in our everyday lives. That calmness itself is a stepping stone to achieving focus. The ability to focus is probably the single most important primary skill in a work environment. There is always so much going on around us and so much that needs to be done that it is difficult to focus on the single task we are doing because of the multitude of things in the back of our mind. Regular yoga teaches techniques to quickly clear the mind of all these other distractions and then focus our mental efforts on a single task. It is also a great provider of personal discipline. The self-discipline that is learned from focusing on the body and becoming master of oneself is a key benefit of yoga. Happiness. Happiness is a goal that is often sacrificed in the short term in exchange for some mystical point in the future when everything will come together and be okay. Yoga doesn't move you any closer to that mystical time, but because you develop such a strong sense of self and connection with yourself, it is common to become more content with your current situation. You will find that the more you practice yoga, the more you will be comfortable spending time alone as well as amongst other people. Your sense of self-worth will increase and you will perform better in social situations. This is perhaps the most important gift that yoga will give to you. Importance yoga has for office workers. Yoga and office workers don't usually mix, but they should. When you work in an office, you will usually be spending a lot of time hunched over a keyboard and sitting in a seat. It can also be an environment that is prone to produce a whole heap of stress and very few outlets to release it. In this article, we examine how these things are bad for your general health and how yoga can help. Let's start with a little bit about what yoga is. At its simplest level, it is a very effective form of exercise. It involves flexing the body into static poses and holding them, which is a fantastic method of increasing blood flow and circulation through various choke points in the body. Yoga also puts a lot of emphasis on the correct patterns of breathing, which allows your body to get the most benefit from each breath of air we take. Expanding from this, we take care to unclutter our thoughts when we are performing yoga, and the more advancements someone makes with the discipline, the more focused and calm they will become. Have you ever told someone to take a breath to calm him or her down? With yoga, it is the same principle. So how does this all help our office worker? An office environment is usually neither a calm nor a healthy place. Most office workers will spend the majority of their day stuck in a chair and often staring at a computer screen or hunched over paperwork or a keyboard. This causes a lot of tension to well up, particularly in the back and shoulders. The legs are also often denied a supply of fresh blood by the long hours spent sitting down. Yoga forces the body to move in ways it would not usually do in an office environment. This can be a very effective way of clearing choke points and allowing circulation to resume its normal flow. The blood takes valuable supplies of oxygen and nutrients with it wherever it goes, and without these supplies, the organs cannot operate properly. The more starved the organs become, the sicker we will become, so clearly restoring blood flow to the areas that are being deprived of it is an important health priority. Did you know that most diseases are directly caused or antagonized by stress? It's true, and it's a much more serious problem than most people ever know. In an office environment, this is even more so. The pressure of deadlines, the constant activity, and the need to constantly be on the move are all primary factors in escalating stress levels. Imagine for a moment stopping. Forget about all the things that you need to get done in the next week. Forget about the rent payment and the assignment you have to finish. Forget about your boss and your family and concentrate on one thing. Breathing. Yoga is as much a mental discipline as it is a physical one, and it will teach you to clear your thoughts and focus on the activity at hand. While you will certainly benefit from the health benefits of yoga, the mental benefits can be truly life-changing. People who learn yoga usually deal with stress better and are able to calm and center themselves when there is turmoil all on them. If you think these benefits would make your life easier, then you owe it to yourself to start learning yoga as soon as possible. Chapter 8: Safe Yoga Practices. You might be surprised to learn that every year thousands of people end up in the hospital due to yoga injuries. A few simple steps can help you stay safe, avoid the emergency room, and enjoy a safe yoga practice. Start slowly. If you're new to yoga, be sure to start in a beginner's class. You'll be able to practice the poses without feeling competitive or overwhelmed. If you can afford it, a private instructor can help you learn the poses quickly, and their hands-on guidance can be invaluable. Use proper equipment. You'd be surprised how many people practice yoga with the wrong equipment or no equipment at all. Blocks, straps, and yoga mats are all designed to help enhance a yoga practice and aid the movements. They can help you ease into a yoga practice and adapt to the poses as your body changes and grows. Wear good clothing. Yoga class is not the place for tennis shoes, jeans, and a wool sweater. You want to wear clothing that lets your body move freely but isn't baggy. It's too easy to trip over long pant legs. Socks generally aren't worn, unless they're yoga socks, which tend to have a sticky bottom that adheres to the floor or a yoga mat. Slipping on floors is a good way to get hurt. Bare feet work best. And because there are many inverted poses, meaning you're upside down, you'll want to make sure you're wearing a shirt that doesn't flop over your head. Form-fitting tank tops, cami tops, or sports bras work best for women. Men may prefer to wear a t-shirt or tank top. Learn from an expert. Many people prefer to practice yoga in the comfort of their homes. There are many top-quality DVDs available, and there are online podcasts and videos you can access as well. However, when you're at home, you lose the benefit of an instructor. Consider taking a class or two or hiring a private instructor before you begin your home practice. This way you can ensure you're performing the poses in a safe and correct manner. Listen to your body. Many people push their body beyond its limits. The most common injuries are wrist injuries, back injuries, and knee and hip injuries. If you're feeling sore, find a way to modify a pose so that your joints or muscles aren't compromised. Remember that some days are better than others, and it's important to mentally adapt to your physical changes. Conclusion. You know that exercise is good for you. You've probably heard it 1,000 times on television, and maybe your doctors told you to get more exercise too. There are few fitness programs that offer broad-scope health benefits. Running, for example, strengthens your cardiovascular system and strength training builds muscle. Yoga is one of the few fitness programs that can accomplish both and much more. So, as I wrap up this guide, let me point out some important things to take with you and what you have learned and to keep in mind. Mobility and flexibility. As you age, and we're talking about once you've passed that 25-year mark, your body begins to lose some of its mobility. Your muscles can become short and tight. Your tendons can stiffen and your joints may often feel sore. When this happens, simple day-to-day movements can become painful or difficult. You may not be able to touch your toes. When you walk long distances, you may notice that your back aches. And if you try to reach over your head to put something away, you may feel pain in your neck or shoulders. This is due to a lack of mobility. Yoga can improve your mobility, meaning it can help lengthen those tight muscles and tendons. It can give you a better range of motion so that when you move your body, you do it in the most efficient and effective way possible. Not only will you feel better, you'll stop having those awful aches and pains. Strength. Yoga often requires you to hold a position for a long period of time. And in most cases, you're supporting your full body weight. This requires you to build great strength. Most yoga positions recruit strength from your large muscle groups, your core muscles, for example. As these muscles increase in strength, you'll find it expands to other areas of your life. Your posture will improve. You'll be stronger, physically, and thus able to lift and carry more than you used to. And you'll build muscle which burns fat and looks pretty darn fantastic too. Reduced stress. Yoga requires a few things that impact and reduce your stress level. The first stress-reducing component is breathing. Many yoga styles have a structured breathing protocol. When you focus on your breathing, it automatically lowers cortisol, a stress hormone, and it lowers your heart rate. Additionally, yoga requires great focus. Some poses not only ask you to hold your body in a balanced position, they also ask you to pay attention to your body and make slight adjustments to improve the pose. You're looking inward and focusing solely on your body and the very moment you're in. This focus reduces stress. It's akin to meditation and it's wonderful for the health of your body and your mind. There are numerous other yoga health benefits. Improved breathing, better posture, and weight loss are just a few more to consider. If you're looking for a new fitness program to try, you just can't go wrong with yoga.